failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the century of lies.
Hi, this is Dean Becker. Welcome to this edition of Century of Lies. I'm glad you could be with us. Today we're going to listen in to the recent proceedings in the U.S. Congress leading up to their vote on the Hinchey medical marijuana bill. You've heard me say it numerous times that this drug war has no basis in fact, no scientific or medical evidence to support its continuance. And that nowhere is that lack of evidence more glaring and obvious than it is in regards to medical marijuana. Those who support the continuance of this policy are the best friends that the terrorists, cartels, and violent gangs could ever hope for. And in Congress, there are still many who stand in support of the black market and the funding of our enemies. Testifying at the Hinchey proceedings, this is Iowa Republican Tom Latham.
Whole marijuana contains hundreds of chemicals, many of which are harmful to one's health. An evaluation by several federal agencies concluded that no sound scientific studies supported marijuana's medical use, and smoking marijuana is not approved as legitimate medical use by the FDA. The bottom line is marijuana is an addictive substance that is linked to cancer and respiratory ailments and problems with the immune and reproductive system. And let me say, as a member of the Speaker's Drug Force or Task Force for Drug-Free America, marijuana is the drug that will tell whether or not someone is going to get on methamphetamines. It is the precursor, the gateway drug for heroin use. As we continue to fight this battle on illegal drug use, this is the drug that gets people started. And anyone who's trying to send a message to our young people today should be embarrassed by having an amendment like this, because this is telling people that this is okay, that it's socially acceptable, that you can start here and it won't hurt you. And in fact, medically, scientifically, that is dead wrong. And the message we're sending to our children today is very strong. Whether we support legal use of marijuana as a precursor to methamphetamines, to heroin, this is the message we'll be sending if we approve this. I strongly urge my colleagues to vote against this amendment.
Reefer madness lives in the halls of Congress. Never mind the fact that the gateway theory has been thoroughly discredited. Never mind the fact that just a couple of weeks ago, a study funded by the U.S. government and authored by their scientist, Dr. Donald Tashkin, showed that there is no link between the use of marijuana and cancer, and that it may in fact help to prevent cancer. Next up, we hear from one of the co-sponsors of this bill, Dana Rohrabacher, Democrat from California.
I rise in strong support of the Hinchley-Rohrabacher Amendment. Our amendment would prohibit any funds made available in this act to the Department of Justice from being used to prevent the implementation of legally passed state laws in those 11 states authorizing the use of marijuana for medical purposes. Our coalition of freedom-minded Republicans and Democrats on this issue is based on compassion for those who are suffering, a commitment to personal liberty, and a firm belief in the principles of federalism. The use of marijuana to relieve the pain of victims of a wide variety of medical conditions is well known and increasingly documented in the media and in medical journals. For many of these people, medical science has not been able to relieve their pain. Just recently, a friend of mine and a friend of many years passed away, Lynn Nofsinger, and many of you here probably know him. He was Ronald Reagan's first press secretary. I went to see him after he got out of the hospital with his treatments for cancer. He had his good days and his bad days. I saw him about a week before he died, and I asked Lynn about it, and he said, yes, sometimes it's bad and other times it's not, but I couldn't get myself to eat, and I had this pain no matter what they did for me. And I said, well, did you ever try that medical marijuana that we've been talking about and debating about? And he got a twinkle in his eye, and he says, yes, I did, and it brought my appetite back, and I slept like a baby. Don't tell me that we should have federal law enforcement people come into a state where the people have voted to approve that if a doctor agrees, and get in the way of Lynn Nofsinger or anyone else who's suffering, and use federal money and federal resources that should be going to fight crime in order to create that obstacle. That's a travesty. Individuals who live in the 11 states affected by the amendment have been granted by their voters of these states the legal right to use marijuana to alleviate their pain if a doctor agrees. If the voters have so voted and a doctor agrees, it's a travesty for the government to intercede, the federal government, allocating our scarce resources to fighting this, getting in the way of someone using something to alleviate their suffering. This is something which should be left to the states, as American tradition dictates. Sandra Day O'Connor stated it best. And she stated that states should serve as a laboratory so that people can try some new ideas out to see how they work. Well, the federal government shouldn't get in the way of what's going on in these 11 states to see how this works. The most recent decision of the Supreme Court has thrown the ball into the hands of the U.S. Congress. Justice Paul Stevens made it clear. The voices of the voters may one day be heard in the halls of Congress on behalf of legalizing marijuana. We have people out there, not just Lynn Nofsinger, but others, and my mother suffered, and I remember how she lost her appetite after suffering a debilitating disease in which she had to go through treatments. This is a travesty to use scarce federal resources. Join this coalition of people who are Republicans and Democrats who believe in federalism, who believe in compassion, and believe in personal liberty. Let doctors prescribe these things, not federal government bureaucrats.
Next up, we hear from David Obey, a Democrat from Wisconsin.
Mr. Chairman, I congratulate the authors of this amendment, and I simply want to say this. If I am terminally ill, it isn't anybody's business on this floor how I handle the pain or the illness or the sickness associated with that illness. With all due respect to all of you, butt out. I didn't enter this world with the permission of the Justice Department, and I'm certainly not going to depart it by seeking their permission or any other authority. The Congress has no business telling people that they cannot manage their illness or their pain any way they need to. I would trust any doctor in the country before I trust some of the Daffy Ducks in this institution to decide what I'm supposed to do if I'm terminally ill. The idea that somehow this is a gateway that we're creating for a drug like meth is a joke. I detest meth. I've seen what it does. It is a plague on my district. It's especially horrendous in the Midwest, and it's getting worse every day. That has nothing whatsoever to do with the management of pain and misery for people who are sick and who are dying. When is this Congress going to recognize that individuals in their private lives have a right to manage their problems as they see fit, without the permission of the big guy in the White House or the big guy in the Justice Department or any of the Lilliputians on this congressional floor? Wake up.
Next up, we hear from Stephen King, and I don't mean the dark author. I mean the dark congressman from Iowa.
The Food and Drug Administration has classified marijuana, along with heroin, LSD, methamphetamines, hashish, and a number of other drugs, as Schedule I drugs. That's because they carry a high potential for dangerous abuse. And so doctors in most states even prohibited them from being prescribed for medicinal purposes. That's the standard. That's a national standard. The issue was raised about states' rights. But no one's raised the issue about states' rights about the other drugs that are Schedule I drugs. But we do have a right, a constitutional right, and an obligation to regulate drugs in America. The question really is marijuana among them? And it is. And so we would be seeking to, by this amendment, usurp that decision and change that standard. But with regard to the addictive nature of marijuana, I'm looking at a study here that says that if adults start at a fairly young age, say by time of 26 or older, that used marijuana before the age of 15, 62% reported a lifetime cocaine use, 9% reported lifetime heroin use, and 54% reported non-medical use of psychotherapeutics. And this doesn't include methamphetamines, which is abused more than any of these drugs that I've mentioned here. So this is a high use issue, and it's also something that infringes upon or it inhibits our ability and our reflexes with regard to driving. So, for example, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration reports that marijuana use has been shown to impair driving performance. These things we know. And then with regard to the gentleman from California's statements about Mr. Notzinger couldn't get himself to eat, if that is our issue, then let's focus on the synthetic THC that's now available. It's available in a drug by the name of Marinol, and it's been proven to be effective, especially dealing with cancer patients and with the nausea associated with the chemotherapy treatments and also with the appetite that might help with assisting the appetite with AIDS patients. There's a way that we can use the THC, and there's a way also that we can protect this country against that kind of Schedule I drug. I urge a no vote on the amendment.
Congressman King fails to address the fact that methamphetamine is in fact a Schedule II drug available by prescription from your doctor, as are Schedule I drugs morphine and cocaine. The FDA and the DEA insist that the studies not be conducted and that they not move marijuana from Schedule I. Insofar as the THC pill, most people find it to be more than they need. Takes an hour to work, and it costs $8 a pill, versus perhaps 50 cents for the inflated black market marijuana. Next up, we hear from California Democrat Sam Farr.
Every year we bring this amendment to the floor. So far, it's never passed. Some may ask, well, why are we doing this again? Well, the answer is because of the statements that have been made already by Mr. Hinchey and Mr. Obey about compassion for people who are suffering. We offer this amendment for terminal cancer patients, for AIDS victims, for persons who suffer chronic pain. We offer this amendment not only to protect those people, we offer this amendment to protect those states that are progressive enough to provide alternative medical options to those who need it. So often, this body insists on protecting the rights of states to define marriage. So often, this body insists on protecting the rights of states to see abortion, set abortion policies. So often this body insists on protecting the rights of states to determine education curriculum and standards. But when it comes to protecting the rights of states to set medical scope of practice, this body balks. All of a sudden, states no longer have the right to determine what's best for their citizens when those include medical marijuana. The Hinchey Amendment doesn't change federal law. It doesn't change drug policy. It does protect states' rights. For those of you who come from states that do not have medical marijuana laws, nothing in this amendment will protect your state, will affect your state. Everything in your state remains status quo. For those of you who come from states that do have medical marijuana laws, very little in this amendment will impact your state. The only difference now is that your state will be able to implement its laws without little old ladies being busted by federal alleys, federal cops. I support this amendment.
Next up, we once again get to hear the story of Little Johnny. This comes from Pennsylvania Republican John Peterson.
I asked leaders in major medical groups, I asked leaders in the medical societies, and since I've been here, I've asked leaders at NIH, do we need to legalize marijuana? And I've never had a positive answer. They said, we have more drugs than we need. We have more things that out there for people who that will perform better than marijuana. But what I tell you what I don't want to do, I don't want to support the belief that too many of our young people already have that marijuana is a harmless drug. I know better. I had young people work for me in my supermarket who I knew were using marijuana, and they used it for a period of years, folks, and they're not as sharp after years of marijuana use as they would have been. It dulls the brain. It holds back the growth. Brains are not mature till they're 25, and marijuana use has been proven to deter brain growth. A close friend of mine in Harrisburg, who was a prominent state legislator, was having dinner with me 25 years ago. And he was talking about Johnny, who was attending Penn State, the brightest of three children. And all of a sudden, Johnny, in his junior year in college, was not doing well. He couldn't figure out why. He visited him two or three weekends in a month, 3 months in a row, to try to figure out what was wrong with Johnny. In the senior year of high school, Johnny had started using marijuana. Johnny lost his thrust for life. Johnny lost the keen mind that God had given him. Marijuana stole him from the potential he had. Folks, if I thought American public needed legal marijuana for pain and suffering, I would support it. We have more drugs than we need on the marketplace. Marijuana destroys young people's chances to have a good life. I have close friends and even relatives who are living less of a life than they would have if they hadn't spent years abusing marijuana. Marijuana is a dangerous drug that is not adequately respected by the young people of this country because they've been seduced by leaders in this country advocating that it's a perfect, wonderful drug.
Gentlemen's time has expired.
Doesn't it do your heart good to know that representatives like John Peterson are in charge? Next, we hear from the Democratic congressman from Massachusetts, a former guest on the Cultural Baggage Show, Barney Frank.
Mr. Chairman, I've never been an advocate of drug testing for members of Congress, but hearing that marijuana use can dull the brain makes me think maybe there's something that we ought to be checking into. I'm always heightened in my support of an amendment, when those opposing it won't argue it directly. We're not talking about 18-year-olds getting into methamphetamine. This is a very narrow amendment. It says where a state has decided by its own democratic processes to legalize marijuana according to a doctor's prescription, we won't arrest people who try to do it federally. And very few of the arguments have met that. The question of marijuana in general isn't before us. This doesn't legalize marijuana. We have many drugs that can legally be prescribed that are far more behavior-altering, far more addictive than marijuana has ever alleged to be. This is a question about whether or not we are going to reach into medical practice and say to medical practitioners whose states would allow them to do it that because of cultural and other concerns about this drug, we ban its use when you might find it medically appropriate. This is, again, the time when I think the slogan of this House ought to be, we're not doctors, we just play them on C-SPAN.
Next, we hear from Representative Bozeman from Arkansas.
I rise today in opposition to the amendment. As a member of the medical community, I understand the importance of effectively treating and preventing pain. However, the medical use of smoked marijuana has been rejected by the American Medical Association, the American Cancer Society, and other leading healthcare organizations. The concern is that marijuana smokers are exposing themselves to a crude and harmful drug delivery system. Marijuana smoke contains a variety of toxic chemicals that can cause and damage and maybe exacerbate the underlying medical condition. The federal government has provided money for research into the medicinal use of THC, which is believed to be the primary chemical component responsible for marijuana's psychopharmacological effects. I support that approach. As a result of such research, synthetic forms of THC have been available as an oral prescription for 20 years. Ultimately, inhaling marijuana smoke and tar are not effective treatments for medical conditions. For these reasons, and primarily because of the opposition of leading healthcare organizations, I must rise in opposition to the amendment. Thank you, and I yield back the balance of my time.
I would suppose that Dr. Bozeman has never heard of the American Nurses Association, some 6 million strong, who have come out in favor of medical marijuana. And there are dozens of other major medical organizations and publications who agree it is a safe and effective medicine. Next, California Representative Lynn Woolsey.
Over the past months, we've all met with them. They live in our towns. They come to our offices. They come to the Hill every single year. And they come from all walks of life. They share with us their experience. or the experience of someone they love. Someone with epilepsy, glaucoma, cancer, AIDS, or other chronic pain. Their stories touch our lives, and if only for a moment, we feel their misery. But unless we are affected personally or know somebody who is affected, after a few hours, we inevitably get caught up in something else. Today, we can actually do something that might improve their lives. We can stop prosecuting the use of medical marijuana in the states that legally permit it. The choice to use medical marijuana, mostly made out of medical necessity and the desire to get through the day with as much normalcy and strength as possible. This is the right thing to do for those who are sick, who are in pain, and those who cannot keep a meal down. Let's not be bad politicians. Let's make smart decisions. Let's help these good people.
Next, we hear from the leader of the opposition, Republican from Virginia, Frank Wolf.
There's been a lot of talk about the Fraternal Order of Police and how we support our police. Here's a letter from the Grand Lodge Fraternal Order of Police, Chuck Canterbury, national president, saying such, referring to the Hinchey Amendment, such an amendment threatens a cause to cause a significant disruptive effect on the combined efforts of state and local law enforcement to reduce drug crime in every region of the country. On behalf of the more than 324,000 members of the Fraternal Order of Police, we urge its defeat. We talked a lot about the police and how we want to do this just to support them. I think we should support the police here. I urge a strong no vote on this amendment.
Next up, California Democrat Barbara Lee.
Taxpayers' dollars, quite frankly, shouldn't be spent on sending seriously or terminally ill patients to jail. Their doctors, not Congress, should decide which drugs will work best. So I urge my colleagues to vote yes on this amendment and ensure that patients' rights, because that's what this is about, that patients' rights are upheld. This amendment does not encourage, nor does it make legal, the recreational use of marijuana. For example, Angel Rach, my constituent from Oakland, has been diagnosed with more than 10 serious medical conditions, including inoperable brain tumors. She and others who use medical marijuana are simply trying to relieve their crushing pain while following the guidelines and the laws that their doctors and that their states have already established. So please pass this amendment. Patients deserve this. We should not send terminally ill patients or seriously ill patients to jail.
Next, closing out the discussion for supporters of the Hinchey bill, is Democrat from New York, Mr. Maurice Hinchey.
Mr. Chairman, the arguments that have been put forth against this amendment have nothing to do with this amendment. This amendment has nothing to do with legalizing marijuana. It has to do with two simple things: being compassionate for people who are suffering and dying under the lawful provisions of laws passed in their states, the 11 states that have done so, and the states' rights. The right of states to govern medical practice, not this Congress. This Congress should recognize states' rights, live up to the provisions of the Constitution, and pass this amendment.
Closing out for the opposition, Republican from Florida, John Mica.
For 5 years in the Senate, as a staffer under Senator Hawkins, who chaired the Drug Policies Committee on the Senate side, I've served most of my time in the House on the Criminal Justice Drug Policy Subcommittee, or one of its predecessors. I chaired Criminal Justice Drug Policy. I point that out to tell you that in nearly two decades, I have never heard one credible source that said that there is a need for medical prescription and use of marijuana. Not one credible source through dozens and dozens of hearings. In fact, we've heard the other side say, let the doctors decide. And in fact, the experts, and there's no bigger association than the American Medical Association of Doctors. The National Multiple Sclerosis Society has opposed this. The American Glaucoma Society has opposed it. The American Academy of Ophthalmology and the American Cancer Society have all opposed this type of use. Millions of dollars has been spent in an effort to try to push this agenda, and we know Mr. Soros has spent millions. In 1979, Ken Strupp, the Normal founder, announced that Normal would be using the issue of medical marijuana as a red herring, not my term, red herring, to give marijuana a good name. You've heard the testimony, and over half of the instances of use of cocaine and marijuana, the gateway drug that is used, in fact, is marijuana. So this is a gateway opportunity to use and encourage the use of marijuana. In fact, early marijuana users are 8 times more likely to use cocaine and 15 times more likely to have used heroin and 5 times more likely to develop a need for treatment. That's according to our Office of National Drug Control Policy. Yield back the balance of my time.
All time for debate having expired. The question is on the amendment. Those in favor of the amendment will indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
In the opinion of the chair, the noes have it. The gentleman from New York.
Mr. Chairman, on that I ask a recorded vote.
The chair will count for a recorded vote. A sufficient number has risen, and a recorded vote is ordered.
Once again, we're glad to have with us the Communications Director of the Marijuana Policy Project, Mr. Bruce Merkin. Bruce, it was inspiring and disheartening at the same time. Summarize, if you will, the vote on the Hinchey bill.
The good news is that we gained votes over last year. 163 members of Congress voted yes on this amendment to stop the federal government from raiding medical marijuana patients in states where it's legal. That's more yes votes than we've ever gotten, and the no vote total did go down a few, so that the margin continues to narrow. The bad news is that we're still not really close to passing. We've still got a fair amount of work to do. It's encouraging that we picked up votes in an election year. Last time this came up in an election year, we lost ground in 2004. And there are some really interesting bits and pieces as we start to analyze the roll call. We picked up a net total of 3 Republican votes, including a very conservative Dan Burton of Indiana. We lost a handful of Democrats, including a couple of Democrats from California. Maybe the most shocking is Rahm Emanuel, former Clinton administration aide, who represents a district in Chicago where support certainly is overwhelming.
Tell us, if you will, some of the ongoing efforts, the soldiering on.
Well, you know, a number of things can continue to move ahead. Of course, we're going to continue to work on Congress and continue to try and educate them. We need to get our cousins and neighbors and moms and dads and bosses and coworkers and neighbors and relatives to call and write and say enough is enough is enough. And of course, although your audience is probably pretty aware, folks do need to plug in with all of the organizations working on this issue, like MPP at mpp.org, and keep posted on what's going on so that you can be an informed citizen and be communicating with your representatives.
You know, Bruce is right. It's going to take more than just the few of us, him and me and a few thousand reformers, standing up for the end of this inquisition. And it's going to take you putting pen to paper or writing an email and sending it to your representative and to your local paper and demanding an end to this madness. That's about it for today's show. I urge you to listen to this week's Cultural Baggage when our guest will be New York Times columnist John Tierney. I want to send a shout-out to our 58th affiliate, KWMD, up there in Kasilof near Anchorage, Alaska. Welcome, my friends. I urge you to visit our website, endprohibition.org. Become part of the solution. Prohibido istak ivalesko.
For the Drug Truth Network, this is Dean Becker, asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the century of lies. The show produced at the Pacifica Studios of KPFT, Houston. Our engineer, Philip Guthrie.